and welcome to the Ski Racing Podcast with me, Ed Drake. Just myself and the mighty Marcel here this week. Ben is sunning himself, being very romantic over in Paris. So just me and Marcel on our own to discuss quite a bit of racing, not as much racing as we would have hoped. The weather yet again playing a part in proceedings. Cancelled the men's slalom on the second day, so their run continues with bad luck, and the women's Super G over in Samaritz, that's where we're. And so, yeah, it was an epic couple of days of racing that did get underway. The first day that we're going to talk about is a victory for Sofia Goggia in Super G. And man, does she do it in style, in front of Hooter by 0.95, Lara Gutbarami in third, just over a second off the pace. Shiffrin, Brunoni and Veneer rounding out the top six. Marcel, mate, how are you? How are you doing?
I hear you've been good. Back from some traveling to Val d'Isère,
yeah,
which was nice. I saw the ski race there, or parts of it at least. It wasn't the main reason why I went, but, you know, I took it.
Yes.
And saw the first snow of the year, did a bit of skiing myself, so... You know, everything's happy clappy these days.
Happy clappy. And what did you make of the women's Super G?
I mean, I was very surprised to see Goggia going that quick, because the last couple of years she hasn't been very good in Super G. She's always a bit struggling, but I mean, you know, almost a second ahead. That's pretty impressive, I guess.
Yeah, looked. She was absolutely on fire. Just she was carrying so much speed. Like you say, in Super G she's quick, but she makes characteristic mistakes now, doesn't she, when she in terms of her style and how it works with her Super G skiing. But this time she absolutely nailed everything, so much speed across the ground, and yeah, an utter domination of a run. A second to sixth was pretty close, half a second or so between second and sixth, but Goggia absolutely head and shoulders above the rest and really laying down a statement early on. The snow was good, the weather was good on the first day. Ben keeps talking about how he hates watching Samaritz because it's just rolly and dull and just tuckfest everywhere.
He hasn't got a clue. Let's put it on the table.
He doesn't know. All he sees is people not doing turns.
I love St. Moritz. It's such a good race. You know, it's nice for the ladies to ease in there as well. And I guess it's not easy. It's quick. You know, there are lots of rollers, as you said, quite rightly. And yeah, I mean, it looked pretty tough for some of them. And we also saw some crashes, so it was a tough race. But Sofia Goggia nailed it.
Yeah,
I feel like the rest is, you know, it's everything is bunched up. I mean, Cornelia Hütter did obviously a fantastic job, and I think she was over the moon to get onto the podium.
Good way to start the season.
From what she showed on TV, and then Gutbarami, she's keeps bringing on those podiums. I think it's her third maybe this year already. So she's having a pretty good run, and Shiffrin was probably a bit gutted not being on the podium. But I mean, we all know what happened the next day. So,
yeah, on those injuries, who was it? The Italian? Why is her name? Why do we start recording? The names go straight out of my head. Cortoni, yeah, sorry, thank you, Marcel. Fractured her tailbone basically, didn't she? Real shame. After a decent hit, really did sort of come down heavily on her backside, and so that's
it her very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, and she won't be able to sit down for a little while. So yeah, hopefully she bounces back relatively quickly, but it's one of those you can't do anything about it. It's just a rest and see how long the body takes to recover, and obviously you've got to be solid enough to go again and have impacts. So let's hope that it's not too bad.
Well, there's no surgery for that. So those are the worst injuries, because with a surgery, you know, you at least know, okay, it's going to take me 2 months, 3 months, 6 months.
Yeah.
But with something like that, it could be, you know, 5 weeks, it could be 2 months, it could be like anything really. So that's a bit of a shame. So I guess if you're injured, you want to at least know, you know, how long the recovery is going to take and when you're being back on snow. But with something like that, very unfortunate. You don't know.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bummer.
Yeah, quite rightly. quite literally.
Sorry. Dad jokes on there, guy. But yeah, epic skiing. But you're right, really tight racing after that. I don't know if there's much else to say about it, but I think the set was good. It was challenging. There's so many blind rollers. I think it was a good race. I really enjoyed.
I mean, there are some people who who did really well. I thought Ellis Robinson had, she was skiing really well. She's also getting back to form. There is some, it's nice to see not always the same people. Well, it's still the same people, but at least in top 10, there are a couple of new people. Suta Kurin, who had not such a good season from last year, I felt like, she was a bit off the pace. Hütter, obviously, she's a bit like, you never quite know what you're getting there.
No, she's either all or nothing, isn't she? Hot or stone cold. So let's hope that's a bit of start for some consistency. Was your old man there? How was he? What did you say was about?
There, he was there. Esther got 23rd. I think, it's a tough one. She's been out for the whole last season.
She looked really cautious, looked a bit nervous, I
Yeah,
think.
she did lose a lot of time in that middle bit where it's like rolly and where you really have to push hard.
Yeah, really commit.
I guess you gotta give her some time to get
Oh,
back
100%.
into the group. And I, it's not like she's part of the. I mean, she's still in the top 30, so she'd probably be still skiing for Austria or for, whatever nation. But I mean, she is probably in a lucky position where she doesn't need to,
It's
where the
not looking
pressure
over her shoulder.
on immediately. Not like some of the other nations where, okay, you don't have a result, you're off again. So that's a good position to be in, I guess.
And like you say, she's had such a long time out, good building blocks, good solid start. And I think you're right. In that middle section where the speeds are high, the rollers are quite severe, and there's so many blind gates that if you're even a little bit cautious going over to there, not quite at full commitment level, you'll just really suffer because a couple of those turns that they're big blind rollers and then it goes on to flats. So it's quite sort of these abrasive rollers which don't give you like continuity. So one small error on those areas, or one small sort of or couple of percent back from charging really hard, will make a big difference.
Exactly, and you immediately see if someone really pushes hard and gets it right. I mean, they gain so much speed, and everyone else was, I think, still a bit cautious. And let's not forget, obviously, all the other speed races have been cancelled so far. It's quite hard to train, during the summer period where you have like quality training. So I think.
I think Gut Bahrami, it's a really good point because I think Gut Bahrami even said that, I think that was like her before the training runs, it was like her second, she'd only done 2 days, it was like her second or third day on downhill skis or something because she'd not traveled to South America. I'm sure it was her that said it. So all of a sudden you go, that kind of puts it into context. You're right, the two early races in Zermatt-Cervinia got cancelled then for them as well as the men, but just that pure lack of time on speed skis.
Yeah, and I actually, funny enough, I talked to my dad about it, and he was like, those training runs in Cervinia would have been so important for all of them because you never get to train like a proper downhill during the summer, or you barely get to train a proper downhill during the summer, and then you come to a track like St. Moritz. I mean, obviously Ben thinks it's easy and not worthy, but it's a hard downhill and it's a quick downhill, and you have the race pressure and the pressure of performing, and I feel like it's quite hard to go basically with a cold start into it. So I
Yeah,
think,
and because it is trust and it is commitment when you don't have that, when you can't see all of the gates. So yeah, 100%. Which brings us nicely, Marcel, onto the downhill, which was the second of what was supposed to be 3 days worth of racing. And Shiffrin took gold in some style as well, looking really comfortable. Obviously, she was fourth pretty quick on the first day in the Super G, but just turned it up. Another downhill victory to her name. She doesn't get those all the time, but and I do think we talked about it the last couple of weeks. Gogia coming in and doing very well at GS kind of forces Shiffrin's hand to take the downhills on a little bit more. And I know she normally does Samaritz. She won the Super G, I think it was there last year. So she's definitely, it is one that she normally earmarks. But, those sorts of results early on will really spur her on. She was 0.15 in front of Gogia. And then 0.02 further back behind Gogia was Brunoni. So the Italians again doing well. Hütter was only 0.11 off the podium in fourth. Puchner was 0.4 off Schifrin. And then Emma Eicher of Germany skied really well. And we're starting to see a bit of consistency from her and finding herself under half a second. 0.43 away from a World Cup downhill victory is really, really impressive. And she looks like a real strong athlete as well that is going to take the fight to these hills. What did you make of the downhill, bud?
Yeah, I mean, I'm impressed by Emma. I mean, thinking about it, she's 20 years old and she's been around for quite a while now.
Hmm.
She does slalom, she does downhills, you know, she's very versatile. And I think she's also has the guts to go, like, you know, full speed. Not she's not being scared of all the girls, you know, having so much experience and winning races and this and that. I think she really takes it to them. And 43 behind is like, it's basically nothing. I mean, the whole race was super tight. You know, you're a second off and you're 15th, which is quite unusual, at least with some of the races we see with the ladies. But that was a really good performance. Hütter did a really good, you know, fourth place and second place. Good for her confidence, good for the Austrians. And you have Kira Weidlin in there. So there's like another German in top 10, which is also giving them, you know, some proper confidence. So I think all in all, it was really good. Thought it was a great race. Gupirami, she was a bit off the pace, I think, in downhill. But maybe maybe we're going to see her a bit only two downhill days, obviously.
Yeah, she talked in, I must have been the same interview, talked about being quite nervous on the downhill ski. So it must have been the same interview. She talked about not really having much time in it. And just she was saying she needs to get used to going at high speed again, which sounds stupid coming from one of the best ski races on the planet to getting used to going fast again. But yeah, just the confidence that sticking, you know, 220 downhill skis on and doing 80, 90 miles an hour.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, talking about that, maybe a shout out to Ellis Merriweather. I don't know if you know her story, but she hasn't been on skis for like 3 years and, you know, threw herself down there. It was quite a bit off the pace, but I don't think that was really, you know, important to her in this race. I think just pushing herself out of the gate is pretty impressive. And, you know, I'm sure there will be more to come from her.
What also got to talk about with this race is the fact they cancelled the race for the later starters. So they only ran 35 out of 56. So 20 racers didn't get to start. Now, I get it from a safety perspective. I understand it, and racers' health and well-being is paramount, and it should be paramount. But these forecasts now are so well-tracked. They know that the weather was getting worse. Why are they not either moving the start forward slightly? Yes, I get that the fact that the TV with how it worked around the two runs of the men's GS over in Val d'Isère, but surely racing is the most important. And I feel like it's just disrespectful to cut the race with 20 people left to go. Maybe that's my British mentality from starting quite a few World Cups within the last 15-20 races, and not all of them, thank you, but quite some of them back there, and feel like, you know, those guys were undervalued, that the race was over. Make the start interval shorter, give yourself more time, start the race slightly earlier because you can see the weather's coming in. It pisses me off. I just feel like it shouldn't be happening.
You know, I think I'd only have one comment to that. Just add it to the list, two stuff that Fizz needs to sort out.
Long's the list? I feel like
that fucking thing is growing bigger and bigger by the day. I'm sure they will not sort it out. They will do the same thing over and over again. You know, it is what it is, I guess. It's a real shame for those girls because they, you know, they train all year long as well, and they're excited.
Yeah, They're just as committed. They try just as hard. Try just as hard with less resources most of the time, with less access to kit, and then Fizz take the piss, you know, and sort of, and I know I don't mean that they take the piss, they disregard them because they cancelled the race because they think that it's not safe, which is good. But it was perfect bluebird when the day started. Start the race earlier, shorten the intervals, do it so that everybody that is putting in the effort, spending the money, whether it's their own money, sponsors' money, National Ski Association's money, I just think it's disrespectful and I don't like it.
I totally agree with you. It's, you know, I'm not a big fan of cancelling races during, you know, when it's still running, basically. But it's, you know, on one hand, I get it. Okay, fair enough. It's safety reason. You know, we don't want to have any more injured. I think we're down quite a bit already. But yeah, it's just poor management, really. On sitting out. So that's, I think we should just leave it there. We'll send them a list at the end of the year and then see what they can change. Probably not that many things.
I mean, I know that they have got hotlines. So the minute the pod drops, I know that Fizz are subscribers and they get it first and they make a note.
Happily come on the pod. We discuss it. You know, we can, we can find a solution with them.
Yeah. Do better.
100%.
Do better. Be less shit, more awesome. That's our t-shirt slogan.
I'm still missing those, actually.
Yeah, I know. Somebody's mega slacking. They're too busy going out to Val d'Isère and having a few drinks.
It's, you know what the problem is? The content. There's not much content from Schiffman and Kilda, so I can't really do your sets.
There's far too much content is the real thing. Marcel, who did you pick this weekend?
I gave you a couple more freebies, and now I'm starting properly.
You gave
thing
us
is,
you...
Things like I don't have to pick anyone because the race is being cancelled all the time anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, is that you? So you're playing the cancellation card, right?
Marco Schwarz said he's going to ski every race up to Christmas or New Year's, and I'll just flip them all and then see who gets more points at the end.
Right. Okay. Noted. So lack of commitment is also coming out of the Marcel Mathis camp. Got it. Okay. On to the men's competition over in Val d'Isère. And this, I think the second run saved it, to be fair, because it was a tough old watch on the first run. But Marco Odermatt, in a class of his own yet again on the Faster Belvard, 0.98 in front of Marco Schwarz in second. And then Jon Verdu, who absolutely crushed it. His first ever podium, his first ever time inside the top 10. He sticks it on the podium. Andorra's first ever podium for Andorra in any winter discipline, which is a bit of a sick result. Zubčić skied really well. Nice to see him back towards the front. He was 1.44 back, missed the podium by 12 honeys. And Pantero on home snow, just a tiny bit further back in fifth, 1.5 seconds off the pace. Marcel, you were there, maybe watching it with a fuzzy head, but what did you make of the racing? And what you go for it before I have my next rant.
Well, you know, Val d'Isère is always a tricky one. It's so hard. It's really hard to ski. And I mean, it was, you know, the conditions changed a bit as well, so it makes it even harder. If it's like, you know, nice and sunny all day long, well, it looks probably a bit better than it does when it's like, you know, bit of shades, bit of this, bit of that. It just makes it a lot harder, and it seems like everyone, you know, it's all at the old Odermatt's winning. But I think Marco Schwarz, that's a pretty decent result for him in GS, because that's probably the one that he really needs if he wants to compete for the overall World Cup, right?
Yeah.
So he needs to have those consistent GS podiums, because he most likely will get it in slalom.
Yeah, pick up some big points in slalom.
I think in Super G, he's really good in Super G. So that would be one that I think he can, you know, pick it up pretty well as well. And then the downhill, I mean, who knows? Today's training, he was pretty decent as well. So if someone's taking it to Odermatt this year, it will be him. And he seems to be in very good form. Johan Verdu, what do I say? I mean, that's pretty impressive skiing. I think he has a very, very nice technique. He's a great skier. I was skiing against him in European Cup as well. And if you have ever been to Andorra, you know why they have good skiers. Well, at least one of them now. Fabulous ski area there. And they have usually a lot of races, World Cup races, European Cup races. So, you know, having that training facility, which is quite steep, you know, good for training, should help him.
Soldeo always looks good, doesn't it? We've had a couple of World Cup finals there, and it they're right in March, obviously, when it's at its warmest, but there's plenty of terrain there, plenty of that. Yeah, and his skiing, I mean, he earned it as well. Like, we've been talking about him over the last, I think, maybe three seasons, certainly the last two seasons, with how he dominated European Cup. Going, right, when are we going to see that? When are we going to see the consistency that's made him dominate? Because he did dominate the European Cup for a couple of seasons. So it was so good to see. And just like, you know, it's every ski racer's dream to walk away with a podium of whatever, and obviously win. But to see him fulfill that and fulfill his potential, I just thought it was really cool. Just loved the emotion, loved the sort of the whole theatre behind something like that, an underdog, you know, and I just think it's good. I think it's cool.
I agree. You know, you don't get too often those underdog stories, and I think that's one of them. And he, you know, it's not because of luck or anything. He literally deserved it because he was skiing great, and that this should give him, you know, enough confidence to go into Alta Badia and just be like, well, you know what, I'm just gonna do it again.
Yeah, it could easily happen in Alta Badia because, well, which we'll chat about a bit later, and obviously you know that place pretty well. So it's a hill that could easily suit him. Nice and hard, aggressive, quite long. He's relatively young, so he's nice and fit and powerful and could really suit him. But back to Val d'Isère, I mean, the race itself ended up being really good and drama on the second run because Odermatt actually was I think he went down to like 0.31, like the halfway point, and he was just like losing more and more time, losing time. And then he crushed the final sector, which, to be fair, is exactly what he did on the first run, which gave him that huge lead over Kristoffersen, because he wasn't actually that quick, much quicker than Kristoffersen until that final stretch, which ended up 0.65, I think it was, in front. But I don't like it. I don't like Val d'Isère as a World Cup. It makes the athletes, the racers, the best in the world look really ordinary. The racing, unless you're in the first three or four, is so different to everything else. Maybe you should have like six or seven forerunners to make it a little bit more even. Having two forerunners, one of which is an old boy camera guy, who's skidding around anyway, not really putting any grooves in the hill. So if you've got an early bib, 1-4, 1-5, you've got such an advantage, and you've got an advantage anyway, but it's magnified in Val d'Isère. So maybe that's an answer. I don't know, but
yeah, it
just looks terrible. Yeah, I think, but I couldn't stand like the first run.
I agree.
I thought it was boring as hell.
On one side, maybe it makes it better. I don't know, potentially. But on the other hand, it's like, well, you know, they are. I know they are better, and they shouldn't have that advantage. But they are there because they are better. You know, a long season.
Yeah, but even 1-7, you know, obviously the first bib draw is 1-7. So
yeah, that's luck. It will come around. You know, one day you.
Yeah, but 1-7 in a different ski area doesn't matter. But that place.
I know, but you can't really change the rules just for one race.
No. But I just think it's ugly. I think it's a bad advertisement. I think the first run was dull. I really did. I was watching it. I was commentating on it. I hope it didn't sound dull. But I just thought, like, what are you doing? The five and a half seconds between first and 30th, that does not represent the difference in ability.
Maybe it does. Who knows?
No, it doesn't. Doesn't.
I mean, I've skied down there, and I think the difference was about 8 seconds.
Yeah, but you want... In all reality, look at your results later on. You went 8 seconds worse than whoever that was that won.
Probably at that stage, I might have been. Anyway, I agree with you.
As a fan, I don't think it's a good spectacle.
I know, it's a tricky one. And it's just incredibly hard. I think it really is the hardest one of all of them and very different to anything else.
But was it Zwischenbrugge?
There you go. You have tried it before we started the pot, and you tried again, and you're wrong again.
I'm still. What is it then?
It's not Zwischenbrugge.
Zwischenbrugge.
Zwischenbrugge. That was pretty impressive.
That was epic. I love the way that he smashed it. First World Cup, 13th, quickest on the second runs. How'd you like that?
Back in the team. Boom. Done. He was not even close to ski.
What do you mean?
He was not supposed to ski this race because one other guy got injured. Or
De Gruber? De Gruber?
No, I think Adrian Pertl or someone. Oh, no. Joshua Sturm.
Yeah.
He couldn't ski because he did a European Cup race. And he has like this ongoing knee problem. So he, you know, he couldn't ski. So this guy was already on the way home from the European Cup in Zinal. When they told him, well, actually, just come back, you can ski, and then he really took his chance. Fair play to him.
Wicked. And that's obviously, you know, you were talking about Esa Ledecká and being able to cruise her way back to form, not having to look over her shoulder. Austria, I mean, it's probably and arguably now the Swiss, definitely arguably the Swiss. You don't get multiple opportunities like. When you do get those opportunities, like luck, fortune, whatever was on his side, that that one of his compatriots couldn't race, and he gets bloody 13th in his first ever World Cups and quickest on the second run. I mean,
he will be in that team now.
Yeah, sure. How awesome
especially
is that?
Especially with some of the other performances, they were pretty shocking.
Just thought it was, yeah, that you but, know, another great story.
Fantastic, but if you look at the the results, there are some rogue ones in there. It's like 57, which is Zwischenbrucker, 42, Wenatzer, 69, Sandro Zurbrück.
Yeah, he went down first. He went
Swiss, amazing. You know, you have like not bib 60 in there, bib 52, bib 64. So that's pretty epic. I think that's quite nice.
Yeah, that was cool. They just charged it. We had plenty DNFs. I think there was like 25 DNFs or something on the first run. And that was just wicked. I thought it was like, you know, those guys at the back showed there was, you know, it was 5.5 seconds to the 30. So it showed that there was time if you could afford to risk, if you took the chance and risked it and got away with it, then, which is what you can only do at the back, isn't it? There's no point skiing within yourself when you're starting in the 40s, 50s and 60s.
Can't afford it. And unfortunately, one of those DNFs was Raposo as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, the splits, unfortunately for him, weren't great. I think, do you know what? I think it's because of how hard that hill is. I think if you go into that, and I'm not saying Charlie did or didn't, because I haven't actually spoken to him since or before that one. Like if you even have the slightest doubt, the slightest sort of question in if you actually could get there and actually quick enough to make the second, you're just never going to do it. You must have to go into that race going, I'm excited about this and I'm looking forward to it somehow. Yeah.
Well, actually, on this race, you know, I think you just have to go for it. I mean, 5 seconds, you can make quite a few mistakes on. But if you, you know, a lot of people on that race is like, they keep on their edges way too long. So with that race, you have to be really quick on your feet. You know, just push it back down, rather than actually turning. And this is why it makes it so unique, because there was one time, do you remember when they changed the skis? And that was even worse then. So they changed the ski to 35 meter radius, and that was a real hack down that slope. I've done that, and that was horrible. But Hirscher, he was so quick still, and that was the only race that Ligeti didn't win that year, because Hirscher just, you know, literally pushed it down, and I think Pantero as well, and Ligeti couldn't do that. And I think that's what you have to be, you know, very quick on your feet. And Noah Zwischenbrucker, he's coming from a slalom angle as well. So Marco Schwarz, you know, coming from a slalom angle, very quick on their feet, just, you know, letting those skis go down, 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 maybe make like big mistake or smaller mistake or medium mistake somewhere, maybe, you know, get a bit less speed, but still keeps pushing it down. So that's kind of how it works there. You want to minimize, you know, your mistakes down that hill, but still want to, you know, push those skis down the hill.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, that second run, it was good battling, only because the reason it was good is because obviously you've got multiple people at the different timing brackets, so you actually can feel like you can charge it. Not the end of the world, but just not hugely exciting, I don't think. And then anything else to add, Marcel? Because we're going to start talking about some upcoming races.
Nope. I'm excited for the upcoming races.
Yeah, good. We are now on to what is a very, very busy pre-Christmas, especially for the men. The men are in action and have been doing their train run today, which is Tuesday. They are racing Thursday downhill, Friday Super G, Saturday downhill, Sunday GS, Monday GS. So they have 5 races back to back. The women raced downhill and Super G in Val d'Isère on the OK, not on the fast, on the OK piece, which is the one that comes round.
The OK piece, I've done that one on the weekend from Folie Douce.
Were you practicing?
Put my best skiing in.
Yeah.
At 6 p.m.
Your most confident skiing in the twilight hours?
Most confident skiing, exactly. I was even trying to get onto the proper World Cup slope, but I don't think they would have enjoyed that. Anyway,
do you not know who I am? Did you not pull that one?
No, my future wife was trying to get on it. Don't think that they thought she was a bit of a loony.
Mate, so I do enjoy actually the OK. That is a bit of a more mellow track. I raced there a few times in European Cup, but it is
and good
maybe
one.
once in doubt, maybe once in downhill World Cup there for the men 1 year.
There was one cancelled race once, and they were doing it there, like actually quite recently.
Yeah, that was one that Martin Charter won, didn't he? From because the weather got better and he started later. And
I do have to say, and that's no offense meant to any women, but I think it's for the women, it's a great track, but for the men, it's a bit too easy.
Yeah, that is a bit of a tuck fest. But
and I mean that with the most uttermost respect, because I don't want us to get cancelled. But yeah,
us to get cancelled. You said it, not me. Don't get me. Don't come for me. It was Marcel. So the men's competitions start on Thursday. Downhill Super G downhill over in Val Gardena, one of the best downhills. You've heard me say it before. One of the best downhills on the World Cup Tour. So much terrain, lovely, massive jumps, and really high speed. Just all round feel good for what down. In my opinion, what downhill's about: going fast, yeah. Doing big jumps.
Feel good. Not for some, it wasn't feel good because they crashed.
For the people that crashed, yes, Marcel, less feel good. Maybe feel bad.
Pain, very painful on some of those crashes.
Yeah, because I mean, talked about it before, but like you know, you crash off those camels.
Do you have any statistics on that again? Because I remember it was like ridiculous amount of in the air time they have on that race. I think it's about, I don't know, 30.
I don't know. I would love to know the stats, because it is that it's just jump after jump. The camels are iconic, and it's surreal tucking in there, going over the first camel with it blind and just taking off and jumping 60, 70 meters and then just carrying on. She loved it. Absolutely loved it. So I really look forward to this one. This is a very much a favorite of the American team. And they every year, somebody, not Steve Nyman for once this year, will chuck their hands in the air, and just the Americans have got this place dialed. And I don't know that they obviously don't know it better than anybody else, because that's just simply not true. But I don't know whether there's some sort of belief from the American team when it comes to Val Gardena that they just go.
It's a lot of gliding. It's a lot of, and Steve Nyman was very good at that. And so is Jared Goldberg today, the leading, I don't know, number one today in the training ground. I think it is long, you know, the first gliding part, which they are usually, you know, very good at. And a lot of them are quite tall and they have like long levers. So around those corners and around those, you know, bumps and whatever is in there, I think that's an advantage if you're a bit taller and if you're very good at rolling over very smoothly rather than, you know, bumping around. So I think, and it was to say, it's the same with Svindal. He loved that track as well. And he was very good at that specific, you know, skill set. To go very smoothly over the rollers, and so did the answer as well. So that might be something.
It might be something. I also think experience plays a big part. You Kazlat, you just know what you're doing in there instinctively. There's plenty of snow across the Dolomites as well as the Alps, so I'm thinking that maybe the terrain that certainly was there last year with the small amount of snow that we had was so abrupt. Obviously, it tends to be the more snow you get, the more mellowed out the terrain gets, just because of how it sort of falls and fills in the gaps. So it might not be as rough and abrasive, probably is a good word to describe it, as it was certainly last season. So certainly somebody with some really good feeling, somebody obviously knows the track inside out and can and has the wherewithal and the desire to take some risks, because it isn't the most technically challenging in terms of gnarly turns where you really need to do stuff. So you've got to be feeling for it and you've got to take any risk of all the opportunities that you possibly can get. I think that's fair to say. Have you got anything to add, Marcel? Do you want to go straight for some picks there, bud?
Let's go for some picks then. And I'll pick for Ben as well.
Huh?
I'll pick for Ben.
You'll pick for Ben. Right, well, I'm going to pick first in the first downhill. And I'm going to say Kriechmeier.
And I'm going to say Kilder.
You're going to go Kilder.
And Ben's going to go for... He usually takes a bit of time to think about it. So I will say he's going for...
He likes the French.
He likes the French?
Yeah.
What about Finnish?
He likes to finish.
All right, let's go for a friend. Let's go for. He likes bless Griesendana.
Griesendana.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm writing this down. There's absolutely no way that Ben is going to go for any of these. Master, you like the way that when you're not on and we quiz you about your picks, which we've decided, you definitely throw the baby out with the bathwater. Right, Super G, Marcel.
I go for Audemars on that one.
OD. And I'm going to switch back and go Kilder.
And then, actually, I think Schwarz is a good shout for that. Maybe Ben wants to take shot. Let's give him a good one then.
Okay. Okay, so he's going to go. Ben's going to go Schwarz then. Okay, and then the next downhill.
Huh. Mm-hmm. It's your go first, actually.
You want me to go first? Now, I don't want to just be boring and go back to one of the faves. So I wonder whether somebody like the gliding machine of Nils Hinterman might get it done here.
Interesting, interesting choice, yeah. Not a bad one. Not a bad one.
Thanks.
I go for a rogue one, you know what? I'm just going to go for Romy Baumann.
That's not as rogue as it sounds, because actually, I think it was last year or the year before, he was crushing it. And we talked about experience, and that man's got about 1,300 World Cup starts, I think, last time I checked Fiske.
47 now.
Huh?
47. After he's about 47, 1,500 World Cup starts, and gone through a couple of nations already. So
yeah, so I think that's not a bad shout. Who are you going to choose for Ben? This could be his. Well, no, you sort of did his rogue one.
He likes Adrian Teo, doesn't he? Yeah, he likes.
Yeah, I think. What about Cassay?
Oh yeah, he's a good one. Let's go for Cassay then. Or maybe someone like Stefan Rongentin. He got third in training today.
Yeah, nah.
Okay,
we'll stick with that. Okay, right. You may go first with this one, Mr. Marcel. We're heading across to Altabadir. And why is that one of your faves there, mate?
It's just beautiful race. Absolutely beautiful race. Such a classic, classic GS.
Take me back to 2012.
Oh, that wasn't there. But no. I did a couple of decent races there. I remember my first race, actually. I think, no, it wasn't my first race. Was it? It was my first race. My first ever World Cup race I'd done there.
Yeah.
No, actually, that's not true. But one of my first ones.
Yeah.
However, I was skiing down with Bib 73.
Yeah. And so you did what we always tell people to do.
I think I came 32nd, which was quite, I thought it was quite impressive.
It's very impressive.
But not good enough. Anyway, love the place. You know, it's great atmosphere there. Track obviously is, you know, unmatched pretty but much.
For those that are new maybe to Altabadir, what sort of are the characteristics? What are people looking for?
So on the first couple, three, four gates, two gates, it's quite flat. And then you dive down into the first steep bit, which is usually very icy and quite tricky. And then you go for maybe like 10 gates in like some medium terrain. Then you dip down again around a corner into some steep skiing, where you can see people, you know, really fighting to stay on the line, because it usually gets quite rough and bumpy down there. And you usually have like an undergate, which is then turning into the flats. And, you know, that's where the race is really won or lost, because if you're not able to take that speed onto the last flats, you are really in trouble.
It's super intense, isn't it? And it's quite long. And then there's a bit of terrain. They always set a little bogey gate, don't they, over that sort of like penultimate roller or whatever.
Two rollers, and like, there's one big roller, and then another one in the middle of the flats, and then the last one into the finish, which is usually not a problem. But that first one, that was a massive one. They usually set it quite tricky there. You know, maybe you can't see the next gate, and you have to get the line right. So I think all in that race really has everything. You know, the flats, the steeps, the rollers, you know, the corners, like everything you can imagine.
Yeah.
And it's on the second run, it gets quite dark as well. Mm-hmm. So it's being even more difficult when, you know, it's in the valley, Altabadia, and then the sun, you know, dives behind the mountains, and it's really tricky to ski. And it gets cold as well.
Not an easy place to go.
Did I correctly?
Pardon?
I thought I made that really appealing to people.
They yeah, and the big ballers go by helicopter, don't they?
They do. They do.
I wonder if those are the ones that are also pleading climate. You know, what's the respect the winters? I can't remember what the thing is.
Well, that guy is doing the downhills. He was pretty good in training today.
Who was?
You know that his name is Schutter.
No, don't be so rude.
Like a big advocate.
Schutter. Anyway. So right, hit before with this.
Let's not go off track here. So I'm gonna go for Audemars.
Woo! So you're gonna go OD. No, I kind of feel like annoyingly that only really leads me down one road, which is the Marco Schwarz road.
Yeah, might as well go for it.
But then,
who's left for Ben? Charlie.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Schwarz. I've just got to. He can have a Raposo. And then the second race, I'm going to have to go OD because I just can't see that not being the way that it's going to go down.
I think on a second day, it's going to be Kristoffersen. I think first day, he needs to be the more adjustment. And on the second day, he's really going to lay one down. Two, hopefully.
I think that's bold, mate. I think that's very, very bold. But do you know what I do hope? And might see what the bookies make of it for another Verdu podium.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. That's but maybe I'm really hoping Charlie's doing well because Ben's going for a Raposo doubleheader.
He is going for. I've already written it down. He's gone for double Raposo double trouble. Okay, and the women are over as we talked about in Val Desert on the OK piste, and they race downhill and Super G. Would you like to go first for the downhill?
I would. I'd love to see Esther Ledesca doing really well. I don't think she's just there with the podium. She will be, improving herself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna go. It's hard not to say Goggia because I feel like that's a race that she always crushed. As in, like, that she always was good, not crushed. Mm. There are lots of them that she crushed, I guess, as well. But I actually, you know what? I go for Lara Good.
Lara Good. Yeah, I do like that. Cool. I just hope that she's able to get used to the speed. And I think to keep it spicy, I'm going to go Brignone.
And then who's Ben going to get? Let's give him Goggia. Just one good pick. That's good.
Okay, he can have Goggia. And then in the Super G, I think... do you know what? I just don't know if Schifrin's going to do it. Any idea? I don't think we know, do we? I think I'm going to go Schifrin for a Super G victory this time. I think she's under pressure, like I talked about at the beginning, to do more speed because Goggia's doing...
I was actually thinking about Schifrin as well, but I'm going to go for Goggia.
You're going to go Goggia race two. And then what about Hooter for Ben?
Yeah, that's a good one. He gets good races for the women's race. That's good.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to do any of them. Perfect.
Yeah, so, let's see if for the first time this season, all the races in the scheduled weekend run to time.
Maybe that's a good information for people. I think on the overall, just to point that out, and it's going to take me 1 second to bring it up.
What do you want to know? Because I've got the overall standings here, mate.
It's 2 out of 41 races. We're 2 races down. So more exciting to come.
Yeah.
In half December, we're 2 races down. Great.
Oh, that's mad. I think we're supposed to have completed 9, I think, on the men's side.
The women's are on 9 races so far.
Yeah, so I think we are supposed to have had 9 on the men's side, and we're on 2. Interestingly, Schifrin leads the way in the overall standings by a decent amount still, 195 points over Brignone. But obviously, we've had quite a lot of tech, so not an awful lot of speed, which is obviously Goggia's wheelhouse. But Schifrin is spoiling the Italian party, so to speak, picking up the victory and then a fourth. And on the men's side, Schwarz leads the way over 36 points. He is in front of Feller, and Marco Odermatt is only 60 points back after two races.
Which... Yeah, I'm not sure how much that says about the ranking.
But... That just shows that we've got one slalom and one GS down.
That just shows that you can read the stats, which is great.
Which is good, because reading and talking is basically what I do.
Nice.
So, and I don't do either of those particularly well. And on that note, I will bid you goodbye and good night. And I will look forward to this weekend. Really can't wait. Marcel, thanks very much, bud. Nice to have you back. And until next time, bye for now.
Bye.